Psalm 98, a psalm. Let us sing to Yahweh a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. Yahweh has made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his chesed and his emet, his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to Yahweh, all the earth. Break forth in song. Rejoice and sing praises. Sing to Yahweh with the harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before Yahweh, the King. Let the sea roar and all its fullness. The world and those who dwell in it, let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before Yahweh, for he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world and the peoples with equity. Amen. The holy word of God. Incidentally, the begins a psalm, Mizmor. This is sometimes translated in the Septuagint with the Psalmos, which is a psalm from Colossians 3:16, which we heard on the Lord's Day. And every once in a while, it's translated with Ode, song. So this would be one of those. I don't remember which one it is, but it would be one of those spiritual psalms, spiritual hymns, and spiritual songs that Colossians 3:16 was telling us to sing in the Lord's Day, and still tells us in that letter of Scripture. Which, by the way, the word spiritual pneumatikos coming after the psalms and the hymns and the songs probably applies to all three. Recognizing that it is the Holy Spirit who has given us particular psalms and hymns and songs and instructionals and other things that come from the titles of the psalms. Okay, so this is a psalm. Sing to Yahweh a new song. What is the new song that we are being commanded to sing in verse 1? I'll give you a hint. We just read the whole thing, and when we are finished having our lesson in the Word of God, we'll be singing it. Yes, Victoria?
A song of praise?
I guess it is a song of praise, yes. It's a very specific song. It's Psalm 98. It's very strange, isn't it? That when the Holy Spirit introduces to us, sing to Yahweh a new song, and gives us what the rest of that new song is, that people come to just the first part of verse 1 and say, aha, see, I can sing whatever songs I want. No. The Holy Spirit is saying, sing this song. The Lord is going to do something new and wonderful. He is going to gain the victory. He is going to display his salvation in the sight of all the nations. He is going to remember his covenant love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. He is going to make the ends of the earth see the salvation of our God. He is going to be king over all the earth. And he is going to be king over all the earth in a way that is covenantal, tied to that worship of the temple that included the harp and the trumpets, these instruments that had been set apart for the Levites to use by David in his office as not only king but prophet, when he was making provision for the temple and the temple worship. And at that time, these instruments came to be priestly instruments for use in the corporate worship of the people of God. Sing to Yahweh a new song because of the salvation, because of his kingship in bringing over all the earth, bringing all the earth to him into his covenant, gathering from all the peoples, those who would be joined in corporate worship led by Jesus himself. And we still sing this as a new song in one way, because Jesus has not yet returned, has he, as judge for the final judgment. But the third part of the Psalm 7, verses 7 through 9, sing to Yahweh the new song, because he is yet going to do one more great new thing in the return of Jesus Christ. I forget now who it was that I heard of had spoken to some older people with mental disabilities, so that their comprehension wasn't that great, but one thing they did comprehend is that Jesus is real and Jesus is returning. And the next time the man who was teaching them the Bible went, he comes into the room and everybody is at the window, looking at the window, and he asks the person in charge of the little group home there, "What are they doing?" And she says, "Well, you told them that Jesus was coming back in the sky, so they love to just go to the window and watch the sky and see what's there and hope that maybe Jesus is going to come back while they're watching." Well, the other day, your baby sister, Mommy, was telling her about Jesus and how he loves her and doing that kind of thing too. And so she went to the window and was looking for Jesus. We ought to be those who eagerly await his appearing. We ought to, as we quote-unquote sing the new song, when Scripture tells us to sing this new song, eagerly desire the return of Jesus Christ. Not just because we will be made sinless if he returns in our life. He can just kill us and do that, right? The souls of believers are at their death made perfect in holiness. And each of us is looking forward to dying so that we'll never sin against God or against others or even against ourselves again. When he returns, he will not just make sinless his people who are still alive at the time, but he will bring final and complete, perfectly righteous, right judgment. And we can rejoice that he came to save first, that his blood would be shed, that we who believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So when the scripture tells us to sing this new song, we sing rejoicing that the new work of God in Jesus' first coming has been done, and rejoicing to look forward to that new work of God that will be done in Jesus' second coming. And so this is not a new song telling us to keep writing new songs. Right, if we understand it that way, then, you know, the stuff that you heard at the conference, like sing like never before, you can't just do that like over and over and over again. Or you can't say that the joy that you share with Jesus, none other has ever known. So also you can't take this as a perpetual command to keep singing a new song. Rather, it is something that stirs us up to rejoice that which the people of God once looked forward to as some new great work that God would do, he had done in Jesus' first coming, but that we all join together now with the people of God, like we see the congregation at the end of the book of Revelation. The Spirit and the Bride say what? They say, "Come, Lord Jesus." And that's what our hearts should sing in part as we sing Psalm 98, and pray in part as we pray in 98, and live in light of the fact of his soon second coming as we meditate upon this psalm and as the Spirit uses us to grow us up into the image of Christ. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, how we thank you for this psalm, and thank you for your steadfast love and faithfulness, so that we, having sung this about Jesus' first coming, can read in the gospel and know our Redeemer, your Son, our Lord, and know you and your steadfast love and your faithfulness in his coming and his work. And we pray that you would make us to know the same as we look forward to his second coming and his final judgment, that you would make us to live today as those who are responding to you with faith, who are responding to you with joy, who are acknowledging your great works, who are acknowledging your perfect character, who are looking forward to the final judgment and to everything being made right. I pray, Lord, that when we sin, you would bring to our mind that you sent Christ into the world the first time to save sinners, and that when others sin against us, you would make us to remember that he is returning, and that nothing that has ever been done to us will ever go overlooked or unavenged, because you, our God, have given us a Redeemer who judges with perfect equity. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would enable us, therefore, to love our enemies and forgive others, to make room for your wrath and your vengeance, and knowing that either you are going to bring to faith and reconciliation with yourself and with us, those who sin against us, in which case the wrath will have been absorbed by you, or that you will justly, righteously, in your holiness, leave them to their sin and pour your wrath out upon them, and that the coals will be heaped upon their heads if their sin is made more heinous by having been done against such love as we have shown. Make us, we pray, to be like you, who have loved and given yourself for sinners who have hated you, as we do whenever we sin. But grow us, we pray, in your image. Help us by your Spirit, that we would love you, that we would be like you, that we would love our enemies and do good to those who persecute us, that we, like you, would be children of our Father in heaven, in the way that we are gracious and generous, even with our enemies. So we pray that you would take this psalm and apply it to our hearts and make us to live in the light of it. In your own precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.